You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark. You can find me online at Ryan Recker. Happy to be with you again today. And about 15 or so minutes from now, we're going to talk to Ira Melman, spokesperson for the Federation for American Immigration Reform. Looking forward to that. I want to say hi to everyone else as well. Hello, Sue. I see you popping in there. I'm on camera today because Ethan said, make sure you bring your camera today, and I did.
Well, so look at you.
I listened to him. It was one of those deals where I have to bring it to work preemptively, because if I don't, then I sometimes get the call, hey, can you fill in today, after I have already got to the radio station. By that point, it's too late. But he said, you know what, just slip it in your backpack. And I did. He did so good asking me to do that.
Look at you two, organizing things.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to start with this, and I saw on the Hill, former Vice President Mike Pence said today that he doesn't think President Trump has completely changed the Republican Party. I thought that was an interesting statement, because I feel that Donald Trump completely changed the Republican Party. I'm almost on the complete opposite end of this. So here's the quote. It says, I think President Trump, as president should, changed aspects of the agenda of the Republican Party, but I don't think he's changed the Republican Party. I don't know if that's true. I feel like in many different cases that Donald Trump has, I don't want to use the word hijacked, but he has become the Republican Party in so many ways, because once you get onto his bad side, it's kind of hard to win an election after that. You almost need his support. So how has he not been the Republican Party at that point? Do you think some people maybe want to disassociate themselves, maybe distance themselves, just for the sake that they may live in a spot where he's not so popular, so they don't want to go all in on him? And maybe that might be the reason why Mike Pence is trying to cool things down for those people so they can continue to be reelected. There could be a chance of that. But let me ask you that. Do you think Donald Trump changed the Republican Party or have not changed the Republican Party? I think that's the way Mike Pence looks at it, and I think he has.
I haven't really thought about it. I just think of him as him, right? I didn't really think about his effect on the party. There's certainly only one Trump in the way he thinks, but I'm not sure that that's a statement about the party itself. It's interesting to think about.
I think that there are people out there that are Trump supporters that wouldn't necessarily call themselves Republicans. I don't know how many. I guess there probably is a portion of Republicans that aren't Trump supporters, but I feel like that's a much smaller. So in ways they overlap, and it's hard to imagine right now, just because of how intense politics have been since he became the face of the Republican Party in 2016. Yeah. It's hard to imagine them without him, but I think that you're going to realize in 2028 when he is, and he's still going to be around, right? But and not to the same extent, obviously, when he's no longer in office. But I think then is when you're really going to realize just how unique these 12 years were with him being the spotlight of the Republican Party. So I think he has completely changed the Republican Party. And I think that, but I think that for the people that don't necessarily agree with that, you may not be able to convince them until he's no longer in office, because it has been 12 years now, or it has been, 9 years now, and will be 12 years by that point. So it might take a little while.
It might be. You know, I keep thinking about this, and there's so many other things that are going on in the world, And I keep circling back to, I can't wait to see Superman this weekend. So I'm just so pumped. It's been so long since I've been pumped up to see a movie. And then you see the headlines, like some of the former Supermans, Kane, the guy that played it, and then the WB in the 90s.
Dean
I forgot
Kane.
His name.
Dean
Kane.
Okay, wait, let me ask you something,
not too
Ryan.
Happy.
Oh,
yeah.
Is this supposed to be, I read somewhere that they think they're going to be trying to make a political statement with this movie, that which I find to be unfortunate.
I really hope that's not the case. And I don't know yet. Now, the audience reviews are through the roof. People are loving this movie right now. I became a fan of Superman in the last couple of years. I wasn't always a fan of Superman, but I found myself really drawn to him after they did that series on the CW.
Really? Dean Cain?
No. Oh, this is a different later
another one. Of course.
No, well, was it the CW or WB or ABC, whatever?
I have no idea.
Ran it in the 90s, but way past that. But what they did on the CW is really highlighted him as a father. And I so related to that. And I was like, oh, you got me. I watched the whole series. It was fantastic. The actor that portrayed Superman was one of the best. He was so good. So I started, you know, reading different storylines for Superman. I would be so lit down if I go to the theater and it's like, oh, you got to be kidding. They took a turn for what Dean Cain would say, a woke turn for Superman. I will be so let down if that's the case. It would ruin the character for me.
I think so, too. I hope they don't do that. Wait, are you saying there was a series where he was a father?
Well, yeah, he's got kids and some of the different comic books. I'm sure there's people listening that have read the comic books. He, you know, him and Lois Lane have kids.
I did not know this.
At least in the sake of the television show, they move back to Smallville. Is it Smallville?
That's it.
Yeah. And what happens is that he kind of like lives there and tries to live under the radar. But, you know, he's still Superman, of course. But there's all these other things that start to come to him. And, you know, he kind of like protects his family in the small town. It's actually really good. You know, and you find out some of his kids have powers and there's other parts to it. So they figure these things out, the legacy side of it. But in this movie, they have been spending so much money. I mean, I don't remember the last time I've seen an ad budget for a movie, like maybe Wicked. They spend so much money on Wicked. It's like this, but I feel like they might be even spending more money on the Superman because they're so afraid it's going to sink DC and they want to keep making more movies based on this franchise. They don't want to put anything to risk. And it sounds like it's working so far, and I know a lot of people are excited. How far do you think we are before AI, you can just like upload an hour and a half movie into AI and say, replace Superman with Donald Trump, and it'll just do it for you?
Geez.
You think we're like a year and a half away from that? It seems like we're soon.
I don't
know.
You think
that could happen?
Wow. I guess it could, right? You could just put them in there. Ethan?
Everything that's happened up to this point with AI, it feels like in the past year, has just happened so fast.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to get an idea of what could happen in the next year, 2 years, 5 years, based off of how quickly the pace has grown just in the past, what, year? I mean, is that probably what I guess it's been since it really started to get big.
So this will further back into politics. I'm going to circle it back around. What happens when the politician, the person that may be the lead for the party, is someone that is a stand-in for someone else, like as in AI just makes him into the best version of himself or what the party wants him to be? You see politics in the future, perhaps, in some levels, allowing AI to transform them in a way where they're the most likable?
Are you saying that they could have put in an AI Joe Biden and it would have been better?
What I'm saying is maybe they did. We don't know it.
I knew it.
How
oh,
did you
my
know where
gosh.
I was going with
because
this?
You're Ryan Recker.
I was trying so hard to deceive in the way that we were getting the roundabout way to it. Okay, now obviously it wasn't like technology used to do that, but I think that may be the only type of argument Democrats are going to be able to make right now. What does it matter? Just like in the future, if it's AI, if you like it, it's based on policy, not the person. So whatever, who cares if it was the person there or not? I think that what we're going to see in the future is they're going to revise this whole Joe Biden situation of him not being present, kind of like the way they're going to embrace these AI politicians. Who cares if it's the ends justify the means, right? You just as long as you get it in the end, who cares if it's an AI person? or at least a stand-in for an AI person or an avatar for that person. Maybe that's the next sci-fi movie I should be writing. Or Ryan Wiggins could write a book about that. That's kind of his whole ordeal. But I just plead, I hope, I know, is Superman out yet? Is today the first day it's in the theater? Sometimes they open on Thursdays. Maybe if someone
wow,
in the
you
chat,
really have it bad. Hang on, Superman.
Well, if someone in the chat has seen the movie, maybe
this
you
says,
can comment.
It says
if there's any woke.
When you Google it, it says July 11th.
Okay, so that's tomorrow.
That is tomorrow.
Okay, so there's no one sneaking it in at midnight. I guess tomorrow we'll find out.
Rotten Tomatoes is giving it an 83%
that's
rating,
good.
And Metacritic a 71%. It says 89% okay. of Google users liked this movie.
But they haven't seen it yet, though.
Well, I was going to say, how
like
is that
lies.
Possible?
Listen, I just read the numbers. Right. I don't give the explanation yep. behind the numbers.
And you got Paul Hall coming up tomorrow, so I'm sure he'll have a review of it.
Oh, I bet he will.
Really good, I think. So, and you got the roundtable tomorrow, too. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to talk to the spokesperson for the Federation for American Immigration Reform, Ira Melman. His thoughts on the recent violent attacks on ICE, Border Patrol, legislation about ICE agents and their mask, all these things that we'll ask him about coming up after the break. I'm Ryan Recker filling in for Mark Reardon. Don't go anywhere. 97.1 FM Talk.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Do you think that this was an isolated incident, or do you think there's a national threat of a left-wing militia that is targeting ICE and CBP?
Well, I think you have some very stupid people in the left who have some money that are making it available to these people. There's something going on. We'll get to the bottom of it.
All right, that was Peter Doocy interviewing President Donald Trump just a couple of days ago. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon. Joining us now, spokesperson for the Federation for American Immigration Reform, Ira Melman. Thank you so much for coming on to St. Louis.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So I don't know if you heard the president's comments there. I don't know if you have any reaction to that. Do you agree with him?
Well, yeah, I mean, he called them stupid. I think they are more dangerous than stupid. These are organized events that are going on. You have people who have been opposed to immigration enforcement entirely. And now that you have an administration in power that is actually going out there and doing the job that, quite frankly, the president ran on and was elected to do, and inciting violence. You know, we saw it a couple of weeks ago in Los Angeles, where you had riots. You are now seeing it with these attacks on ICE agents, just, you know, the one down in Texas a couple of days ago. This is not happening spontaneously. There are people behind it, and it's hard to identify precisely who they are, but there is money, there's organization. This has been going on for a long time, and it needs to stop. The FBI needs to be doing its job and go out there and find these people. But, you know, it is dangerous. The ICE agents are just doing the job that they're supposed to be doing. They are getting criminals out of the country, and that's what the American public wants.
So if there is this money that's circulating around, someone is trying to insert it in to aggravate or whatever it is, organize, try to interfere with ICE official business. What about the commentators that you see on television, the ones that are going out there? Are they a part of that, or are they independent playing into that?
Well, you know, they are, as somebody called them, the accomplice media. I think they may be ideologically inclined to not want to have any kind of immigration enforcement. Look, I mean, you know, you see all this hysteria being whipped up that ICE is just randomly going into schools and churches and, you know, God knows where else. That's not happening. What is happening is you have sanctuary jurisdictions all across the country who are refusing to hand over criminal aliens that they've arrested for other things. And ISIS said, you know, if we have to do that, if you're going to put them back out on the street, we're going to go into the community and find them. If we have to go door to door, we'll go door to door. And if we happen to find other people who are not on our radar scope, we are going to take them also. You have to remember, you don't have to be a criminal in order to be removed from the country. All you have to do is be in the United States illegally. Obviously, ICE is prioritizing dangerous criminals, but just like any other law enforcement agency in the country, it doesn't mean that they're going to ignore lesser offenders. And, you know, what these people are doing is putting those lesser offenders in danger as well.
I wanted to mention some other reports that came out recently, and the idea that President Trump, and I'll read the quote, flirted with the idea of shielding undocumented workers in the agricultural and hospitality industry from deportation. He has insisted there'll be no amnesty, but also suggests that some workers might be allowed to stay here if their employers take responsibility for them. So I'm sure you've seen those reports. He's kind of backed away from them some. What did you think about that? Maybe going after the violent criminals, but sparing others.
Well, it's a bad idea. Look, I mean, we shouldn't be saying to certain industries, it's okay if you hire illegal aliens, pay them poor wages and poor working conditions. We have created situations in this country where industries have decided, you know what, we don't want to pay decent wages to American workers. We don't want to provide good working conditions. And so Americans don't show up to take those jobs at the pay and conditions that are being offered. Then they hire illegal aliens and say, you see, the only people who will do the job are illegal aliens. These are self-fulfilling prophecies. You know, the president ran on trying to restore the middle class. You have a lot of middle class jobs that have been degraded now to a point where Americans don't want to accept those conditions. And we shouldn't carve out special privileges for certain industries. You know, they are powerful. They have lobbyists in Washington. But, you know, it's the American public, it's the American worker that should be looked out for.
What do you think about the legislation to force ICE agents to take off their masks? The play that we've seen as of late, there's been a lot of debate, mostly from the left, that really want to try to out the ICE agents while they're doing their job.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that, you know, if you look at the college campus protests, they're all wearing masks. That seems to be okay. But if ICE agents who are being threatened and having their families threatened, you know, there's been like a 700% increase on assaults on ICE agents. They are doing this for their own safety. So, you know, that unless these leftist politicians are prepared to tone down the rhetoric and join the effort against the violence that's being perpetrated against law enforcement officers, they need to wear these masks to protect their identities and to protect the security of their families.
And probably other things, too. I mean, I remember certain riots that happened in St. Louis, and the rioters were always throwing chemicals and liquids at the police and rioters. So I would think about, if you are someone that's going into a situation where you know that they are being coached to be hostile against you and to fight against you, that it is not unrealistic to believe that they may actually use some sort of sprays or other chemicals in the act of trying to resist you. So I would use it for even for your own protection.
Sure. You know, I'm not sure that a mask is necessarily going to protect you from all that, but they need to do whatever it is they need to do to protect themselves. You know, we want these agents to be able to go home to their families at night, just like everybody else does. And, you know, we also need to start addressing these things at the root cause. You have these violent people who are out there, you know, anti-government. We saw this starting back in 2020, where you had people who were legitimately protesting, but then you also had people who were there just to instigate violence. Those are the people that we need to go after, whether it is, you know, with the ICE agents or any other area. Look, people have a right to protest. They have a right to say, I disagree with the policies of the administration. I don't think we should be enforcing immigration laws. That's all fine. But when you cross that line to inciting violence, when you cross the line to going after law enforcement officers, that's where you really have to start doing something. And, you know, the politicians who have been saying things like comparing them to stormtroopers, they need to tone it down.
Mm-hmm. Spokesperson for the Federation for American Immigration Reform, Ira Melman, joining us. The debate over birthright citizenship, I don't know if that's going to go anywhere. I really don't see a huge future in that. But in general, where do you weigh in?
Well, our view is that the 14th Amendment states that all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction of are citizens of the United States. And the question is, what does it mean to be subject to the jurisdiction of the United States? Does it simply mean that you're here and you have to stop at the red lights like the rest of us? Or does it mean something more than that? You know, the framers put that clause in there for a reason. And in our view, being subject to the jurisdiction of the United States means that you don't have an allegiance to another power, that your presence has been recognized here in the United States. You know, if you or I were to go and live abroad, we would still be required to file a tax return in the United States, even if we weren't earning our money here. And that's because we are subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. If we were of draft age and we had a draft, we could be drafted even if we weren't living here. So somebody who's here illegally is obviously still a citizen of another country and is not really subject to the jurisdiction of the United States the way the rest of us are.
Mm. Well, people wanted to look up the Federation for American Immigration Reform. Where can they go?
They can go to our website, which is fairus.org. That's F-A-I-R-U-S.org, fairus.org.
Guys must be pretty busy. It seems like every time you open up a news site, there's something else that would pertain to your business.
Yes, we are busy. But it's good to be busy.
It is good. This is the time to settle things that have been remained unsettled for as long as they have been. Ira Melman, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Joining us after the break is a Fox News contributor, retired NYPD inspector, attorney, and founder of the opsdesk.org. You can find his latest piece on there as well. Paul Morrow is going to join us after the break. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon. Don't go anywhere on 97.1 FM Talk. Ryan Recker filling in for Mark Reardon today. Joining us is a Fox News contributor, a rising star, I would say, in the network, retired NYPD inspector, attorney, and founder of the opsdesk.org. Paul Morrow, thank you for coming on. Oh, almost here. I know he's heading over here, too. But there's so much that's going on. If you haven't been to opsdesk.org, I think you'll be able to see one of his latest pieces. And I'm going to read a quick part at the start. Biden's doctor pleads the fifth. For 4 years, the public watched President Joe Biden's visible cognitive decline play out in real time. No real denying it anymore. So let's move past that. He had diminished capacity and is allowed to continue because it is part of the national political argument, but that stage is over and now things are turning critical, as it should be. Ethan, are we ready?
Still almost. Working on getting him on. We'll let you know when we're ready.
Okay, we'll get Paul on here in a second. But I want to play a couple of clips because what we noticed with this doctor that went to sit in front of Congress is that he pled the fifth, didn't have a lot of answers. Let's look at some of the outrage that we're seeing for this. And Comer had a couple of things to say about it, too. Can we play clip number three?
This was an opportunity for Dr. O'Connor to defend his reputation, to defend his work, and he chose to take the fifth. What Dr. O'Connor did today only added fuel to the fire, that there was a cover-up and that Joe Biden wasn't mentally fit to serve as president of the United States.
Yeah, you know, I can understand that he may have some allegiance to Joe Biden. You may feel like he has to do this sort of thing, but I think we move past it. I think it's time to stop the cover-up. He's decided to be part of the cover-up. Joining us now is Paul Morrow. Hey, thank you, Paul, for joining us here in St. Louis.
Thank you for having me, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I was looking at your latest piece there, Biden's doctor pleads the fifth, and I wanted to ask you about that. You're summoned to be in front of the House subcommittee. You want to answer questions about the health of the president of the United States, mostly his mental capabilities during that time. I think it's very relevant. I think it's questions that the American people deserve to hear. You're not going to get it from him, though. America wants to confront this, and I think a lot of people want these sort of answers. What do you think happens when we don't get any answers?
Well, nothing good, because what it does is it just plays into all the worst conspiracy theories that you hear relative to, the answers we're not getting, and they spin out of control, and people conjure all kinds of malevolent theories as to who really was running the country, I hear it now, I hear it relative to the Epstein stuff, that good men like Keshe Patel and Dan Bongino are now part of the deep state, and it's just nonsense, And so in a vacuum, in politics. Unfortunately, it's filled with conspiracy theories. But, you know, this doctor seems to be quite adamant about just not coming across. He took the fifth, and that is his right. But all it does is lean into the idea that he has something to hide. We don't know that he does. But, you know, at some point, 2 + 2 has to equal 4. And he's the president's doctor. The president was demonstrably suffering from some sort of mental incapacity. Somebody has to answer for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I think that when you're married to someone that's in that capacity, you bring in the spouse. You have Dr. Jill Biden, who would have been fully aware. I want to know what kind of decisions were being made at that point, too. And considering the role that you had as president of the United States of America, we're not talking about, you know, someone that's got a desk job that, you know, could be in name only. But this is someone that's a very hands-on position. It's very necessary for them to be at the top of their game when they are in that position. It's obvious that he was not. I don't know where you go from this. I know there's a lot of other people you can have testify and discuss where the health was. And I think eventually we'll get some answers on this, but not from the doctor. And I think he'll go down as being on the wrong side of the conspiracy.
I think you're right. He's going to be on the wrong side of history here. And I do think you're going to get some answers. They may have to give somebody immunity here so that they're free to testify and won't take the fifth. And that may get you to the point where you can overcome what is clearly going to be, and as it says on the Ops Desk, which is the piece that you're referring to, that's the Substack, opsdesk.org, the intent issue. Because you're going to get a lot of confusion. You're going to get a lot of people who are saying, well, I didn't realize the president was that bad off, and I was taking him at his word, and I didn't realize that he was just doing what Jill Biden told him to do. And so that's got to be overcome. And what you're going to need is somebody who had enough access to say, look, I saw the president really didn't know what I was asking him. And yet Jill Biden or Anita Dunn or Alejandro Mayorkas or this doctor, which is not an unprecedented thing in American history, that the doctor ends up issuing executive orders that people follow. And a lot of it is going to devolve to the auto pen. As we've seen, the auto pen signatures match the pardons, except for Hunter Biden's pardon, which apparently they were aware enough to say the president himself better sign that one. But apparently, according to the reporting, all the other ones match, meaning the auto pen. And so that calls those into question. There is case law and previous decisions that were issued by the lawyers down in D.C. that looked at this hard, that said, OK, we are comfortable with certain decisions being devolved from the president to his proxies. But there are substantive things that have to come from the president that can't be auto-penned. And I think it's going to get into that morass, and it's going to come down to how purposeful the intent, again, was it, that people were defrauding essentially the American public, because that is a crime and it is prosecutable.
Yeah, and part of this, I don't think they're going to be able, a lot of the people around him, close cabinet members, those that should have regular communication with the president of the United States, be able to just say, oh, I didn't know. I don't think it can do. They're supposed to be bright individuals. If you're elevated to that type of level in government and you're saying, oh, you're not having regular meetings or conversations, you're seeing the president go on long vacations where you can't reach them, you're taking orders from proxies or Dr. Jill Biden, the first lady, as opposed to the president, and you're noticing some key decisions being made without the person that should be your boss in the room, you can't deny that, oh, I didn't know what was going on at that point. These are supposed to be bright people, and they can't just claim ignorance on this.
Well, I think you go right to the legal heart of it here. And again, it goes to the intent issue. You know, there is such a thing as willful ignorance. And if you are put into a grand jury relative to a potential criminal prosecution, and that is the ultimate lever here, you know, you have a DOJ now that will do it, as like unlike under Joe Biden, which it was a DOJ that just didn't seem to want to prosecute anybody under any circumstances. You have a DOJ here that is beholden to Donald Trump. And if he says, I want you to go all the way with this, and it looks like they are, because the American public does want answers here, you put that person that you're talking about into the grand jury and they start saying things like, well, yeah, I saw the president every day. Yeah, he couldn't formulate the words, but I didn't realize. It's going to come down to, well, you know what? You're lying. We don't believe you. that's potentially another charge. If you're lying during an investigation, it's called 1001, USC 18, 1001. And that person is not going to be believed by the grand jury. They're going to get indicted. And that's where it all goes. And that's what I meant by the intent. You know, the claim willfully, you know, just a willful blindness. You know, you were purposely ignorant. It's not going to get you off the hook here. It's going to take some legal machinations. It's going to have to be looked at close. It's going to have to be finessed. But at the end of the day, more than seeing people locked up in the key throwing, being thrown away, I think what we need to really see, and I think what would satisfy the American public, is the truth. Some clarity on what the heck went on here with our nation. Who ran the place for 4 years? It really became apparent in the last 2 years of the administration that it wasn't the president. And we got to make sure it doesn't happen again, because this is no way to run a republic.
Yeah, and we're only 7 months removed from Joe Biden being in office. If he is really as acute as they say he is and all the people that are defending him, he can answer for himself. He can get in front of people and answer these same questions and put this all to rest, but he's not capable of doing that. It's not like we're removed years from the situation and there could have been a sudden downfall. We're talking months away from this situation. So you're right. There's a lot of these things. But for the sake of time, I wanted to ask you, because we're coming up on the anniversary of the attempted assassination in Butler, Pennsylvania. The 1 year anniversary is coming up this weekend. Are there still questions to that event? Are there things we don't know about that?
Well, the full report hasn't been issued relative to, like, you have to say to yourself, okay, we just learned that in February, six members of the Secret Service were suspended without pay, which is a pretty good hit. They weren't, they kept their jobs. You have to say, okay, well, why them? You know, and I don't think that's entirely clear what exactly balls were dropped. We know the planning was blown. We know the communications at the location were blown. So was it as simple as the bosses, because it was management class that were suspended here, the management in the Pittsburgh field office who were covering Butler? Was it as simple as, hey, it was a hot summer weekend and they just didn't want to go out to Butler? You know, I think there still are a lot of questions there. And of course, there are questions around Thomas Crooks, although I am going to zig while everybody zags. It is entirely, I've never bought the idea that he was some kind of Iranian cat's paw, that he'd been catfished into this by some foreign entity. They're not going to use a knucklehead like that. The idea that he had foreign apps on his phone, I have probably five foreign apps on my phone, whatever they are, they're not nefarious. So I always thought that was a bogus storyline as well. It's like a little bit like the Lee Harvey Oswald thing, where, you know what, people feel like it has to be a bigger answer than just it was a local kook who had the gun, who managed to penetrate a very weak perimeter because the service was out to lunch, and managed to do what he did. And there, but for the grace of God, we got away with it. The only other thing embedded in there real quick is that I feel like an unanswered question is why the following. The parents of Thomas Crooks knew that he had gone MIA with a gun. They knew, they had to know, it was all over the papers out there. It's a big deal that the president of the United States, or the potential future president of the United States, was going to be in the area giving a speech. If you're the cops and you get that call, was that conveyed to the service and was that ball dropped? Were they aware of a threat before Thomas Crooks was ever cited at the event? I've never heard that answered out as well. And if it were up to me, that's a question I'd like to put to Alejandro Mayorkas, who, as we all know now, seems to be MIA entirely.
Right. And let's not forget that is a murder scene. Someone did die because of
that's
that.
That's right. That's
so
right. That's right.
It's for the very least, even if you hate Donald Trump, at the very least, I think his widow and his family deserves answers of what happened there that day.
Absolutely.
So you have the ops desk. If people wanted to look you up online and some of the things you're doing, where can they go?
Yeah, opsdesk.org. We'll take you to the Substack. And you can look me up on, you know, I'm on Twitter. I'm on all these things. You know, they do it for me. But yeah, opsdesk.org will take you to the website, and hope to see you there. And, you know, feel free to opine. We're always looking to people, you know, to give their opinions. That makes it fun.
Paul Morrow, I said you're a rising star through Fox, and the ops desk is a very great resource. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
Ryan, thanks for having me, buddy.
And I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon. Don't go anywhere. 97.1 FM Talk.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Got a big show planned for today. I know Brad Young's going to join us next hour. That's going to be fun. Sue's News next hour. I look forward to that too. Sue Thomas, I see you're very active chatting with people in the video today, talking women's tennis. Is that right?
Well, a little bit. Actually, we're talking about the men's now, but we did talk about the women's. My brother and sister-in-law are over in the UK because one of my nieces is graduating from Delft University in the Netherlands, which is way too much information. But my point to you is this. While they were over there, they decided to go to Wimbledon. Mm-hmm. So they actually sat on center court yesterday. Oh, I mean, way up
before
high.
Before they were arrested. Oh, no.
But way up high, because my brother thought, we've all played tennis for years since we were kids. When we were kids, we had family tennis night and court time on Tuesdays. Oh. So this was a big deal, and we were all excited, and he decided, what the heck, they'll go for the gusto. So they got to watch it. So we were talking about the men's and the women's, and now I just don't think that Djokovic can take out Sinner, and that's what's happening.
Got it. Well, I see the active chat. It's very cool that you get to do that. I also heard an ad for Amazon Prime while we were in break there. I haven't done any shopping for Prime Days.
What?
I don't fall for that stuff anymore. These gimmicks to go get you to spend more money. I don't do that. I'm done. I only buy things when I need them. I'm not looking for sales for things. They're not going to convince me when I go to that website that I'm going to buy something I don't want. I'm not falling for that.
Okay. Did you ever fall for that? Because let's face it.
All the time.
Really?
I used to all the time. Oh, it's on sale. It's a great price. I better buy it because it's a good price.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Well, you showed them.
I did, because they're doing it, what, 8 times a year now, it seems like.
Yeah, for longer.
It's Amazon Prime weekend, 5th time this year, it seems like. So I'm not falling for it. Good luck, Amazon. I'm not playing around.
I got a toilet bowl cleaner. I just thought I'd share that with you. Ethan.
Is it an automatic thing?
No. It's just marked down a little bit. I'm going to use, it's a new one. You got to update those things every now and then. I'm not saying it's expensive. It wasn't, but it was 20% off.
Like, is it a scrubber?
Yeah.
The
scrubber.
Okay. That you keep it on the side of the toilet.
Exactly. Yeah.
How dirty do you think that thing is after use?
Like, it can't be good. It cannot be good.
How often are you supposed to replace those? Is it supposed to be every couple of years?
No, but
once a year?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm going to ask the internet. Proceed, and I'll come back with the answer.
All right. If there was a Petri dish analysis of what was on one of those little toilet scrubbers, I think it would make us all just get instantly sick. Don't even want any of that. Okay. Just in case you were not sick already.
What? Every 6 months?
Okay.
That's crazy.
So now you get to
no
replace
comment
it.
Okay, on that one.
That's not going to happen.
Yep. All right. If you're not sick already, I want you to listen to the CNN panel talking about ice. So you want to hear clip number 7? Let's try that.
We're talking about it like it's no big deal that they are kidnapping people and transporting them to concentration camps, both domestic and foreign.
I think that's kind of insulting to
I think it's
Jewish
insulting
Holocaust
what they're doing.
It is not insulting
to Jewish Holocaust. Okay. I find it insulting that you could even fix your mouth to defend this disgusting behavior.
Are there gas ovens at these?
It's not a death camp.
It doesn't matter. It's a concentration camp.
Concentration camp. All right. I think that the Nazi comparisons, they keep taking it higher and higher. So calling someone a Nazi, I think most people roll their eyes whenever they hear that type of terminology anymore. Like, okay, whatever. You're one of those people that call everyone Nazis. The whole idea of comparing things to concentration camps, I thought even most people on MSNBC or CNN were at least a little bit smarter than that to try to pull that type of comparison, but they're not. And that is pretty despicable, all things considered. If you're not sick already, what other things can we do that's on the sick thing? Oh, do you want to hear that Jasmine Crockett, by the way, a rising star in the Democrat Party? I didn't realize she was born in St. Louis. She is a congresswoman down in Texas, and she was discussing fentanyl in the United States. Obviously, it's a big problem, especially when you're down by the southern border. You think you would come across some people that have their lives ruined by it. Let's go to clip number one.
A lot of my bills around fentanyl, I've done that with a number of, you know, Republicans that have been like, oh, no, like the border crisis, it's all the fentanyl. And, I'm like, OK, whatever. But like, let me work on some legislation,
whatever.
Legislation that I actually started working on in the state house. Really good legislation that would save lives.
Yeah. Whatever. Fentanyl.
Jeez.
So we have, let's go to CNN where they talk about concentration camps, and that's what ICE agents are, Nazi guards pulling people to concentration camps. And then you have Jasmine Crockett, representative out of Texas, who sees, I'm sure, a good amount of illegal activity coming through the southern border during the Biden years. Maybe not as much right now as the Trump years, but downplaying the fentanyl crisis and just, it's such a problem. Anywhere you go in the United States, it's such a problem that they normalize naloxone, which is the nasal spray that tries to reverse some of the effects that happen to a person's body when they encounter fentanyl in order to try to save their lives. It's so normalized, this type of behavior, that you can go get it for free, and they encourage you as an individual to keep it on hand in case you come across someone that is overdosing on this drug. They have what look like certain parts, these boxes where you can just go and grab it in areas where there is high concentrations of people that are overdosing, and they just can't continue to send the EMS out there over and over and over again because they are just so worn out using this stuff on the same people every night that they are encouraging bystanders to go around and spray this to try to reverse the fentanyl use. And it's like that in every corner of the United States right now. And she's out there. Oh, no, not a big deal. Not a big deal. You know, they do these busts, and you see Michigan's or police, any type of state police, I should say, that will go out there and brag whenever they make this big bust because they know they're saving people's lives. And it doesn't seem like it's a lot, but they are just coding this stuff in everything anymore. And it's only going to continue to get worse, and it needs to stop coming in. And you got to find the people that are supplying it and trafficking it. According to her, it's not a big deal, so why even bother? I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.